Get Up with Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7. I got to put my
hands up in the air. Ned, right now, this very second, I've got to say, I have found a story that is going to rile people up on the way to work this morning. They're going to be enjoying the sense of rebellion against authority. They're going to love it.
Great.
Ready to hear it?
Yeah, I'd love a story like this.
Guy was on a first class ticket to an international destination on a plane.
That's the one you want to get one for.
The first class ticket. What he's decided to do is sneak some beverages back to his mates in economy. So he's had a bunch of his mates go the other way when they got on the plane. He went to the left, the front of the plane. They went to the right, back of the plane.
Yeah.
And he's ordered a bunch of drinks, pretended he was ordering for the person next to him, and then has tried to sneak them back to his mates in economy. Been told no repeatedly. Has not managed to get the drinks back there. It caused a whole scene. The whole thing's been a bit of a debacle. Mm-hmm. But the point was he was trying to get the drinks to his friends.
This is like a mole. Like, he's managed to beat the system where he's up in first class, but he's actually sneaking stuff back.
I don't know how much the ticket he paid for cost, but I don't know if he's beat the system, because some of those tickets on first class can be like $17,000. Depending on where you're going and depending on the airline, you can pay like nearly 20 grand to sit in a chair for 17 hours.
Well, that's it. Depends how long the international flight was as well.
I think if you are willing to pay that much money to sit in a chair, you get to do whatever you want on the plane after that point. Like, if you want to, if you want to go up and sit with the captain for a while.
Just have a chat to him.
I don't think you should be allowed to fly the plane.
No.
But maybe co-pilot. What's the worst that could happen there? So yeah, absolutely you should be allowed to co-pilot the plane if you're paying $20,000 to sit in your seat.
I also thought that on international flights, you just got free drinks regardless. Like, even if you're in economy, that's been the rule when I've been on international flights.
Well, possibly, quite possibly, this was a domestic first class flight, which even more so, this person should have been allowed to sneak drinks back because you've paid even more money for an even shorter flight.
Exactly. Also, we don't know if it was international
or
domestic.
I'm not 100% certain. No.
Okay. Well, honestly, it could also, if he's doing international, I know for a fact you don't get champagne in second class, like in your economy. So maybe he was sneaking back like champagne.
It's not the Titanic. I don't think planes have second class and third class.
You're a second class.
They call economy steerage on a plane.
I wish the flight attendant, when you got on, went, "Ooh, you're in second class." And I went, "I know. This is where I am, money wise."
Sitting on the plane going, "Could you tell them to keep that that fiddle down? Are they having a bit of a foot stomping party? I'd like them to keep that down in third class. Thank you very much."
I can literally feel the plane going up and down when everyone's doing a little jig back there, and I'd rather they didn't. It's freaking me out. It's like turbulence.
Point being, if you are going to spend that kind of coin, you should be allowed to basically shout the plane if you want to.
Yeah. This one's on me, guys.
You know what, guys? Drinks are on me. And you know why? Because I paid 17 grand to sit in a goddamn seat. So I'm absolutely going to make it rain with liquor. That's what I'd be doing if I was the person. I'd be kicked off the plane.
You'd be kicked off for making a scene.
But I'd be a hero.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
You know what, Ned? I saw something yesterday that has me concerned that the current generation just don't get it. And
this should be good because you are 27.
Yeah,
so
the current generation just don't get it.
You are the current generation.
These were some high school kids that I saw.
Yeah, I was going to say, unless it's babies, you are the current generation.
I saw some high school kids and they're getting something very, very important wrong.
Okay.
So when I was a kid, if you had like a girl you had a crush on in high school or something, one of the coolest things you could do was get her to share your iPod with you.
Yeah.
So you'd have one earpod each and you'd be like joined pretty closely because, you know, you're sharing the earphones.
Well, you can only get a certain distance away from the person.
And then you became like a personal DJ for the girl you had the crush on. You're like, "I've got all these cool songs." Yeah. And she'd
like,
"Oh,
smack
that
again, my icon.
I love this song." Yeah, it'd be great. And that's how that would work. And you'd walk around together at lunch listening to the same music.
Yeah.
And that was a fairly straightforward system. Mm-hmm. I used to see it all the time when up until probably a few years ago when it kind of seemed to die off just a little bit. I wasn't seeing it as much in shopping centers and around anymore.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it's not cool anymore. Maybe it's not the cool thing to do.
Well, everyone's got a phone nowadays, so no one really needs to do it that much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's true. And look, I saw a resurgence of it yesterday, and it warmed my heart for a second until I noticed exactly what was happening.
Yeah.
And then I was outraged. It was two kids sharing a set of Apple AirPods.
Right, the wireless headphones.
Which are the wireless headphones that do not have any wires connecting them together.
Mm.
And this, my friend, is doing the whole headphone sharing thing wrong. It is wrong.
Yeah.
It is not romantic. You are bringing absolutely no closeness between you and your crush because you are absolutely... I've got Apple AirPods. You can leave the phone in the lounge room, go into your bedroom. Like, you are free to walk completely away from each other.
Yeah, you lose the thing of being like, oh, you maintain the thing of being your crush's DJ, but then she can just golf and do whatever she wants.
Absolutely. Could leave. Could walk up to 20 metres away, I reckon. You get a good 20 metres away from the other Bluetooth part.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous. This is not how this is supposed to work.
It was a tried and true method in math class for me where you would sit up the back and you would listen to music in some headphones. Nowadays, you can just put on like a hoodie halfway up and you could just listen to music all day long away from the person who was playing it on the iPhone.
You could be in a different class to your crush.
Exactly.
They could have one little bit of the earpod and you could have one earpod as well. And then before you know it, is this the closeness? What I'm saying is the closeness is gone in this whole dynamic.
It really is a shame because it was bringing together. I'm sure couples have met and have married because they were listening to each other's headphones for a little while.
Oh my God, you really like this band? Yeah, I really like this band. That
there
conversation's gone if you're in separate rooms.
Exactly.
You're just like, oh, I really like that band. Good call. Mm. I wish I could say that to him, but he's in another room right now.
I'll have to let him know at some point when I give back my AirPod.
Gen Z, whatever you are, this is not the way to do it. This is not the way to do it. Bring back the wired headphones so you have to sit next to each other and talk about the music.
Aren't AirPods like $200 though?
And also, where are kids getting this money? That's the main reason I'm angry, to be honest. I thought I was pretty fancy having my AirPods and I saw teenagers with them. Where the hell are they getting so rich? I'm angry on many fronts.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Right now, Lifeline Canberra are right in the middle of Lock Up Your Boss. It is a massive fundraising campaign where bosses will nominate themselves to be locked up with their staff and clients and customers, hopefully donating to release them from their virtual prison. They can also do all kinds of challenges and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly.
It is an awesome way to raise money for Lifeline Canberra. Lifeline Canberra are doing some amazing work at the moment. In Canberra, we lose one person every week to suicide.
That's
a statistic that is just no good. And what we are looking to do is raise as much money as we can with Look Up Your Boss, because each call that Lifeline can answer, hopefully get somebody some help and have a chat to somebody about how they're feeling, costs around about $26 once you've paid to have everybody trained and all that stuff. It's quite an expensive process, so they need to raise as much money as they can. If you've got a boss that is taking part in Lock Up Your Boss, you've got until the 8th of June to raise the bail money they need to get them out of their virtual prison, and all the bail money, of course, going straight to that 13 11 14 crisis support line, which is the number you can call as well if you want to have a chat to somebody at Lifeline. Right, look, Ali Stevens is doing some amazing stuff with Lock Up Your Boss.
Yep, she is from the Mark Agency. She is a strategic business manager, and she was lovely enough to give us some time this morning just to have a bit of a chat on, is she getting locked up? How much money is she raising?
Yes.
Why Lifeline's so important to her? We asked it all.
Yep, you can get on to lockupyourboss.com.au and help Ali raise some money, but she's joining us on the phone right now. Morning, Ali.
Morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you.
Very well, thank you.
It's great to be having a chat to you. I think you're our fourth boss that we're having a chat to with Lock Up Your Boss.
Lucky number four. Oh, as I was like,
yep, there you go. Now, Ali, how are you raising money for Lock Up Your Boss first and foremost?
So at the moment, just sort of, you know, getting friends and family and people at work to donate. So my goal is, I think I've put a target of $10,000.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Pretty ambitious. And I sort of, at the start, said, you know, that I wanted to raise more than any of the other bosses.
You wanted to be the boss?
Yeah.
I like that.
So we are in the process of organising a huge boot camp, and it will be sponsored by one of our clients, 88 Fitness.
Yep.
So we're sort of in the early stages of organising that. But yeah, we're hoping to get corporate involved, individuals, and just, yeah, really raise a fair bit of money from that.
Yeah, brilliant.
See how we go. Fantastic.
That's
get
great.
Get the big 10K. Well, that's awesome. So are you doing any challenges? Are you being locked away, or is it all a virtual thing with the website?
It's all a virtual thing at the moment.
Very good.
It's a bit hard to lock me down at the moment.
Yeah, okay. Just too busy.
And honestly, Ali, I've got to say, that seems like the smarter option, because some people are like, oh, I've actually been chained to my desk for a week.
Yeah.
And some people are going, no, I'm just being virtually locked up and hopefully, out of the goodness of people's hearts, they'll just donate money. I know which one I'd pick. Yeah.
I'd be picking the virtual lockup as well, no doubt about it. Ali, so exactly. This is obviously a worthwhile cause, but what made you so keen to get on board with Lifeline in Canberra?
So Lifeline and suicide prevention is really close to my heart. So, sorry. 3 years ago, I lost my brother to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, you know, if I can, you know, play my part in, you know, helping people that are going through what he went through and, you know, preventing it. And, you know, it also has, you know, a massive after effect with the families and, yeah, just really playing my part to, you know, somehow help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ali, I think the thing is the amount of people out there that will have a story exactly like yours, or it just it's a terrible thing that touches pretty much everybody in the community in some way, shape or form. So I think it's so brave of you to be actually out there trying to do something, you know, you're going to get some
so
money
good.
And trying to raise so much money as well. I think it's really, really awesome effort by you.
Yeah. Thank you.
No problems at all. Well, thank you. No, thank honestly, you for thank everything you, you're doing.
Ellie, yeah.
So if people can donate, can they find you on the website?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Absolutely fantastic. All right then, Ali. Well, hopefully there's a little bit longer to go, I believe.
There's
I think
still
we're
a while to go,
nearly
yeah.
halfway through the old Lock Up Your Boss at this stage. So that $10,000 is still absolutely gettable. Ali, thank you so much for having a chat to us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you very much, Ali, for being so brave this morning and sharing that information with us. And it just highlights exactly why this is so important, raising money for Lifeline Canberra. If you need to have a chat to Lifeline, of course, the number is 13 11 14. But that's it. We're raising money to make sure that line answers as many calls as they can.
Yep.
You can check out lockupyourboss.com.au if you'd like to register now or if you'd like to donate some money, particularly to Ali.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer, mej.com.au.
Ned, something I used to get made fun of for in school, and when I say used to get made fun of for, it was because I did it once.
That's all it takes in primary/high school.
It was primary school, yeah. And I couldn't live it down for a good 6 months, I reckon. Mm-hmm. Well, at least it seemed like 6 months when I was that age, so that's it was probably a week,
mm-hmm.
but it seemed like 6 months. Time's relative.
Usually man. When you go away, at like over Christmas break, running jokes don't usually stay after that.
No, kids don't have the memory to keep the running joke going after school holidays, so it probably only went for a couple of weeks, but I was torn apart.
Okay, what happened?
I called my mum mummy in front of my like guy mates, and it was the end of it.
What grade were you in? Because they're not your mates.
I'm trying to think. Around about grade two.
Yeah, so they're your friends, not your guy mates. They went down at the pub. Yeah.
Well, these guys tore me apart like we were at the pub, and I'd called my mum my mummy in front of all of them.
Did you call it? Did you say it to her, or were you like recalling a story?
No, I was
about
recalling
her.
A story. She wasn't there, which is the part that makes it even worse because it wasn't like I was just. It was a slip of the tongue because I think in grade two I knew. It was cooler to be like, oh, mum, my mum.
Yeah.
Because that's what all the other kids were saying.
Yeah.
But like, I still called mum, mummy at home. So it was kind of like I tripped myself up.
Like all the time?
No, not all the time, but sometimes. Usually when I was around year two, because what, year two is like 7 or 8, maybe?
Yeah, it's young.
I think I was starting to get the gauge of like how to get things I wanted. So like if I was trying to be cute, I'd call mum mummy.
Yeah.
And then like if I was scared or something like that. But like if I was just it was mum was becoming the way I'd speak pretty normally.
I don't think I've ever called my mum mummy other than to like make fun of her.
Right.
I call my mum mother. Like mother. I do that. Never as a kid.
Child.
No,
I was gonna say that's creepy.
No, I always call my mum and my dad. Like there was no I never called my mum mummy.
No, even daddy back in the day.
Really?
Yeah. And look, there's an article at the moment about what age kids should transition to mum or mum. And they're like, I think one of the ages referenced in the article was 10.
Mm.
And the thing here is like to each your own. I absolutely, if that's what your kid wants to call you, why shouldn't they be able to call you that?
Sure.
But the other kids do start to make fun of them, as I can just recall, in year two for that.
Yeah, I've never called my dad daddy. And
haven't
I don't
you?
Think I ever would.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you have a recollection of when you were a little baby, because I reckon you probably did.
I probably went from dad to just dad. Mm. I don't think there was ever a position or ever a transition where I called my father daddy.
I think there probably was for me. I'm trying to think.
Where you called your dad daddy.
Yeah, I think I did.
There's just, I don't know. It's just, I don't want to come at this from where I am right now, but it's very hard to, as an adult, hear someone say daddy and not laugh a little bit.
Okay. All right, then. There's only two ways you can go with it as an adult. It's either that or it's the Veruca Salt. Like
Daddy,
Willy Wonka.
Daddy, get me that.
Exactly. You're either really posh or it's,
I don't want to take us there. I don't want to, but I feel like we're already halfway. We're probably 3/4 of the way there of, I just don't think you should probably call your father daddy.
You can do whatever you want as a kid. I think as you get a bit older, it starts to become, a question of what age should that probably drop off.
Yeah. It's the same thing as like, when should you like stop wearing nappies, I guess, suppose. It's just up to you, isn't it?
It's not really. Yeah. Look, the point here is I think that if you are a kid going to school today and you still call your mummy or daddy, do whatever you want. Own it. Be yourself. That's what I'm saying. Don't let other kids make fun of you for it, because I did, and this article reminded me of that. Mm-hmm. And I feel silly, because you know what? It was between me, my mum, and my dad, and that was fine.
The one thing, and I 100% agree with everything you've just said, live your life, and let everyone else's stigmas be their own stigmas. The one thing I tell you not to do under any circumstance, and you will regret it for the rest of your schooling life, is to call your teacher mum.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that happened to me once, and she was weirded out, I was weirded out, all the kids were weirded out. They're like, why don't you just call the teacher your mum? And I'm like, I don't know.
The only thing that could probably make that worse, calling her mummy. I think that would probably be the only thing that could make it worse.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Ned, the royal wedding. Look, there is a huge, huge amount of coverage of the royal wedding that is going on at the moment.
Indeed.
It's probably just time that we have a little bit of a check-in, see how everybody's travelling. Meghan Markle's dad, apparently not going to the wedding. Not going to the wedding. And the latest was that he was going to the wedding. The new latest is now, like literally 5 minutes ago, he's once again not going to the wedding.
Well, he's going into surgery because he actually did have a heart attack a couple of days ago.
Full on.
He thought he was going to be able to fly it for 8 hours to England.
Yeah.
And they're going, no, you've got to go in for surgery now.
It's incredible. And look, the thing here is, the thing that makes this more remarkable to me is that the Markle family are constantly the ones reaching out to media to tell them these things.
Well,
he told TMZ.
He went to TMZ to say, no, I'm not going anymore. Surely there's got to be someone else of a higher echelon than TMZ to go, oh, I'm not doing something anymore.
Well, for this kind of reporting, TMZ is at the forefront. Let's
TMZ,
be honest.
At a point, TMZ, I reckon, are going to have to go to him. We get it, mate. We can't keep reporting on you.
How much? Like, if you apparently Meghan Markle's like sent some messages saying, you know, I'm worried about your health. I hope you get well. Like,
of course.
She's a dad, so she's still. But the thing is, at some stage, you'd have to pick up the phone and go, stop it. Stop what you're doing. This is my day. No, it's not about you.
I just say, contact me. If you are going to come, that's great. If you're not going to come, that's really, really, really sad. And I'd really like you to come, but also understand if you're sick. Just message me or message.
Don't speak to me through TMZ.
Yeah.
That might be the way to go.
Exactly. Because you can't imagine that Queen Elizabeth isn't seeing this and going, is he coming or not?
Off to the side, now that we've spoken about the old Mr. Markle, quick question to you.
Yep.
How are you coping? Because you are not a fan of the royals. You are not a fan of all of this. How, during the midweek of the royal wedding week, how are you going?
I am so unbelievably over all of this. As someone who doesn't care but was happy for it to go ahead because it's two people getting married, which is very, very exciting, I am just so unbelievably over this. And honestly, I didn't want to even talk about Meghan Markle's dad, but it's literally the biggest news story today. And I understand.
Everywhere. Absolutely everywhere.
And I know we have to talk about it because it's also the biggest thing that's going on, but I'm so over talking about
it. That's the thing for me at the moment, because I don't even mind. I'm like, I get, you know, my nana's going to sit and watch it and she'll be all, I get all of that, but at the same time, what you just said then is not even remotely true. It's the biggest thing happening in the world at the moment.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong.
North Korea may no longer be a part of these talks that they were going to have.
It's 60 more people just died in the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, it's literally not even close to the biggest thing happening in the world, but we are treating it that way as a society. Very, very interesting. The thing I think here that is really, really concerning to me is every new marriage, there has got to be some sort of cold feet process where you're like, am I making the right decision? Imagine having this pressure on top of all of that. Imagine if you just like take away everything and they're just two people that think they're in love, they're going to get married.
Yeah, Meghan and Harry.
Here we go. This on top of all of that.
Yep.
Imagine that. Imagine that pressure.
I honestly, for all of the people in this, I feel bad for Harry. because hear me out, because I don't like the Royals and I think they have it very good, but I reckon it would be very hard for him to convince someone to stay with him if all of, like, they've torn apart every single facet of her life and family front of her, and he has to somehow convince her that loving him is worth all of that.
That's,
and
so
it's
true.
Not going to keep him going for the rest of their lives.
You even think about that aspect of it. That is so true. Like,
he has
to sit there and go, your only consolation prize for all of this crap is you get to marry me.
Yep.
So you'd be sitting there going, is it, like, am I worth all of that? Like, it, just the emotional and mental turmoil that they would be going through if they were paying it any attention. The only way you could get through this is by not watching or listening to any of it, if you were those two. That's the only way you could get through.
I don't understand how I could do it. And honestly, if Meghan Markle leaves, how does he convince the next person to go, this is okay, this is okay? Look, don't forget how they treated her family, which is, I mean, be however they are, odd or not, this is how they treated them. They absolutely tore them apart, made her dad take weird photos for the paparazzi where he was reading books about London and drinking tea.
Well, that was his sister that was organising all of that. Like,
that's the thing.
It's very, very too much information about somebody ahead of their wedding.
That's why I'm so sick of hearing about this.
Okay, all right then.
I am so, because this isn't news. This isn't news. I don't care about her dad. Yeah. This isn't news. We shouldn't be talking about it.
The funniest thing about this is it's not even news in terms of, like, the line of succession.
Yep.
Like, there are so many people ahead of Harry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. This will literally never affect anyone.
He's now a whole other family ahead of Harry. All right. Look, the winner at the end of the day, I guess, though, love. I'm glad we checked in. I'm going to check in with you again on Friday.
And
we'll see how we're going. You're just going to be exhausted from all of it.
I'm about to collapse as it is.
Okay, all right.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
And Ned, last night, a phenomenon that I was not expecting to have occur to me occurred, and I've given it a name. And I don't know if other people around Canberra are doing this same thing, but it's actually pretty damn good.
Okay.
So what happened to me last night is I went out because I wanted to get some chicken to make some sandwiches. So I went out to Woolies, waited there for a second because the guy was like, yeah, these chickens have only got like 8 minutes to go and then you can have a fresh brand new one.
I'm like, brilliant.
Absolutely, mate, I'll wait.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walked around Woolies just looking at things to buy basically to fill the time for the 8 minutes. So I was waiting for my little chicken to be out of the oven.
Yep.
Got myself some shower power, which is something I'd been meaning to do for a long time, get a little bottle of shower power to wash my shower screens and wash the tiles and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, great, yes.
Yeah, and just sort of thought to myself, you know what, this is a good time to get that because I normally always forget it when I go into the shops, but here I'm specifically looking for things to buy. So perfect time to remember.
Absolutely.
Went home, got the chicken, put it all into a Tupperware, all that sort of stuff, then turned my attentions to the shower power. Went, you know what, going to clean the shower right now.
Wow.
Cleaned the shower that instant. From that moment, my next thought was, geez, the basin's dirty. I'll probably give that a bit of a clean as well. Clean the basin.
With the shower power?
No, just with normal basin cleaning equipment. and I went, you know what, the toilet probably hasn't been cleaned in a little while either. I'm going to clean the toilet. Then vacuumed the floor of the bathroom.
Really?
Before you know it, I'd clean the entire bathroom when I'd only initially set out to clean the shower.
Well, you'd only set out to get chicken. Really?
That's actually 100% correct. I actually only went to get chicken. So before you know it, I've cleaned the bathroom. But what happened was I cleaned the shower, then cleaned the basin, then cleaned. I'm calling this domino cleaning. Mm-hmm. So what happens is you clean one thing and then you look at the thing next to it and go, well, that looks really dirty now because the other thing looks so clean. So you clean that, then you clean the thing next to that. And before you know it, you're cleaning entire rooms of the house without even realizing that's what. If you were to wake up in the morning and go, oh, God, I've got to clean the apartment. Oh, God, I've got to clean the house. Oh,
yeah.
Geez, the lounge room's a mess.
Yeah.
What you do, I'm telling you what you do. This is what you do. Just clean one thing. Then the thing next to it will annoy you that it's dirty, so you'll clean that. Then you'll clean the thing next to that, and you clean the thing next to that. And before you know it, you've done your work without even realizing. If you set out with the goal of, I'm going to clean the entire house, you'll never do it.
Yeah.
But if you set out with the goal of, I'm going to clean the dishwasher, maybe you will actually end up cleaning the entire house.
This works for people like you, but not for people like me, because I'd literally just go, oh, the shower's clean, and then I'd look at the basin and go, well, that's dirty. But I didn't set out to clean the basin, so that's staying the way it is, and I'm going to eat a whole chicken now.
Damn it. So this isn't foolproof.
No, I'm not saying it's not foolproof. I'm just saying it's not for everyone. There's some people that it cannot apply to because I honestly, what you said, we're like, ugh, I've got to get up and clean the whole apartment. That's the only thing that works for me. I've got to be sad about it and I've also got to just do the whole thing.
Okay. All right then. Domino cleaning? might work for like 75% of people. it's a new way to live, yeah. And I want people to start using that as a phrase. It's called domino cleaning.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Josh, it can be very hard to fit in exercise in a very busy life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you are out there and you have kids and you also have a job and you have a family and stuff like that, it can be very, very hard to go, cool, I'm going to set aside an hour and a half to go to the gym, or I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to do anything like that. There's a lady who used to be David Beckham's, she's his ex-trainer, so she used to train him. And that man is incredibly ripped. And he has also got a lot of kids, and he has a lot on. I mean, I think a part of his job actually is just staying in fantastic shape because
he does underwear campaigns and all that sort of stuff.
Exactly. So I guess that's a part of his job. But she has said that there are 8 ways that you can do a little bit of exercise, a little bit of yoga in the office to make you lose a bit of weight. So if you're out there and you're like, I'm struggling to find the time, you can actually do it while you're at work. Sitting at your desk, you can do this, and it will probably only take you about 2 minutes. I'm going to run you through the 8 steps because I feel like, I know what they are and you don't know what they are. Let's go with that reason, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so.
I think the other reason is you think I need to lose weight, but that's.
I'm sticking with my first reason.
I know I'm not fighting fit at the moment, yeah. But at the same time, it's getting into winter. Penguins get fat in winter to retain heat. That's kind of what I'm going off as well.
Penguins also don't buy coats, and they also don't know how to rug up or buy scarves or beanies.
Penguins also don't emotionally eat, which is what I've kind of been doing for the last month and a half.
They eat to survive.
Yeah.
They don't eat.
Look, you
take
need
away.
To just get to the point about these, because you've hurt my feelings already, so let's just get on with it.
Step one, close your eyes for a second. And breathe in 3 times, 3 deep 3 times. All right, this is taking too long. All right, keep your eyes closed. Turn your head to the left, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now tilt your chest upwards and put your right shoulder back. No, you've done that wrong as well, so we're moving on. Lock your fingers and put them behind your head. Okay, great. That's it. There's other stuff with that one. We're going to move right past that.
Are you going to punch me in a second?
I should. I wish I had longer arms.
I feel like you're setting me up to hurt me.
And I'm going
to
wind you because I've just made you take 3 deep breaths. Okay, put your right hand on the outside of your left thigh, and that gives you a bit of a rotating. That's not it, and that's horrible to look. Don't do that, okay?
Okay, sorry. I didn't realize. Dude, that looks suggestive,
didn't it? Looked very, because you caressed your thigh. You didn't place it there. Okay, keep your chest lifted and just keep doing like twists in your seat. Oh, God. I really regret doing this. I feel like everyone out there who can't see this is lucky. They're just hearing this. Now yawn. Okay. Now lock your fingers once more and stretch them backwards up to the ceiling. Yep, there we go. You nailed that one. That's the first one you've done. And finally, roll your ankles and wiggle your toes. Good blood circulation.
I thought you stand up and roll my ankles. I thought the idea of what you just said then was that I'd just be doing everything you said so much that I'd stand up and twist both my ankles for you.
I did say there was 8 steps. 9 steps, run headfirst into that wall. No! Oh, no! Oh, no.
You feel good about yourself now?
I feel bad.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you okay?
Is step 9 really running headfirst into the wall?
No, I started this by saying there's only 8 steps.
I couldn't remember because I hit my head so hard on that wall.
That happened afterwards. So you have a concussion. We need to take you to the hospital
okay,
now.
Okay, shall we call it?
I think we need to. Let's
That's
call
the
it.
End of this morning show. We are going to be back tomorrow from 6 a.m. Have a good Wednesday, Canberra. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh.